Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Let's do this.
Okay.
Episode 2 of our marathon.
Hi, guys. We are chugging along.
Chugga, 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 chugga,
choo, choo. How many did you just do?
3. So I always do 3.
Total. Yeah. Chugga, 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 choo, choo. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you all were asking me how many chugga chuggas I do.
I mean, that is one way to put it.
I just put how many chuggas.
Oh. Chugga, 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 choo, choo. Oh, wait, maybe
so you
8.
Just did 8.
I don't know. I think it depends on my mood.
Yeah. Chugga, choo, choo. Chugga, 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 choo, choo. This was a very discussed question when we were at Westport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of us got in on it.
Yeah.
Riley, Tyler, John, me, Allie.
Kids were doing like 20 chuggas.
Oh, man.
All because I was trying to get Riley to say chug, 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 chug to John. And then she was too embarrassed to do it. I was like, girl, you did it to me once when I wasn't even prepared for it. And you weren't embarrassed then.
So funny. Oh, my gosh.
Well, hello. Welcome
to Off Script.
I am Allie.
And I am Bree.
And we are a podcast
where we compare books to their adapted movies.
Yes, we're that fancy. We can do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So fancy.
This is season 5, episode 7.
Chugging along.
Yeah. And this comes out 2 days before Cameron's birthday. Happy birthday, love.
We're also covering Red Dragon.
Yes, we are. And we are on our second, if you did not hear us, second episode of our 4-episode marathon we're trying to do today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've read all the books, watched all the movies, but we have not recorded. And mm-hmm. We're like, oh, man, they're coming
Let's
out.
Let's do that soon. Me as the editor is stressing.
Yes, but that's okay because we're doing it today and then you'll be A-okay.
For a month and a half.
Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at. And we are still at my house with dogs
mm-hmm.
and my house with children.
Mm-hmm. Come here. Luna, come here.
And Luna likes to torment her older brother.
Okay.
All right. So trigger warnings for this book. It's, you know, Hannibal Lecter. So murder.
Murder.
And this one's kind of gross. There's a couple scenes.
Sure.
I thought it was gross.
I'm trying to figure out what scenes you thought were gross.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There's only one that grosses me out, book and movie.
Yeah, it's probably the same one.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end?
Oh, no, that's another one. You're right.
That's the only one that gets me.
Ah. Nah, it's gross. So our synopsis for the movie is we follow a psychological profiler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will Graham, who comes out of retirement to track down a serial killer.
Heck yeah, I would come out of retirement for that.
I would not.
I know. This book made me realize, I mean, I think I realized it when we covered All We Got in the Dark 2, where I'm all about, like, yeah, I would love to be a cop, but I would not be able to go to the crime scenes.
You would not.
Mm-mm. I would go and throw up all over the place.
That would make your job very difficult.
Yeah, so I'll just stick to reading and watching.
Deal.
Pretending like I can do it.
Sounds good. So our author is Thomas Harris, mm-hmm. director Brett Ratner.
I would say Ratner.
Ratner. Screenplay writer, writer Ted Talley, and audiobook reader was Alan Sklar. I'm trying to remember. All my audiobook readers are meshing together, but I'm pretty sure. Yes, this was the one. He sounded just like the guy version in Mansions of Madness. The narrator.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
it was the spooky sounding guy when he reads.
I love
this.
That.
Yeah. It was kind of cool.
That's amazing.
Because they had a different audiobook reader for each book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was kind of annoying, but that's all right.
Is there a woman mm-hmm. for Clarice?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I guess that's kind of cool, because then it's a different narrator for each different character that the book follows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I didn't think of it like that. All right. So this book was written October. No, not written. Came out. I guess written. Mm-hmm. October 1981. And the movie came out September 30th, 2002.
That's crazy.
That's 21 years.
That's crazy.
That's craziness.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And what did you do first?
It's funny. My mom was shocked when she found out that I was doing movies first for this series. And then I was like, Ma, because it's Red Dragon. And she was like, oh, yeah, you've already seen that. Duh. So, yeah, I watched this first.
And I read it first. Our initial thoughts.
Yeah, it's everything I love.
I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting it. I don't know what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Like after reading Hannibal Rising, right? You're mm-hmm. like, we're following Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
And then going in and being like, oh,
who's this character?
We're not following mm-hmm. Hannibal anymore. He's in jail.
Yeah.
And then I was like, how is he in jail? Because like at the end of the last book, he like escaped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it jumps to this one and he's in jail already. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what? The movie kind of fixed that.
I was going to say the movie helped with that.
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. I will say I was surprised because I watched it first and then I read it. Mm-hmm. And I thought reading it was going to be tough because I knew everything that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And this seemed like one of those stories where it would be more fun if you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. This book was still fun, even knowing everything. I was like, ooh, tell me more. I want to know this part of it.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And why'd we pick it?
Because I have been dying to read Silence of the Lambs.
You will get that in every why'd we read it for this whole series.
Yep. Because you can't do Silence of the Lambs without the rest of the series.
Yes.
So
this is number two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My super fun facts. Sally's super fun facts. We have Sir Anthony Hopkins showed up on set during one of his days off just so he could watch Philip Seymour Hoffman work. The two actors didn't share any scenes together.
That's so sweet.
And I bet he's so glad he did that.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
Aww.
Ralph Fiennes gained 15 pounds of muscle for the role.
Wow.
I know. Rafe also, his back tattoo in the movie took 8 hours to apply.
Oh, I bet. That Dude. Tattoo's massive.
Right?
I couldn't even imagine someone getting it for real.
I know. Oh my gosh. Take forever.
Especially like it went all the way into his butt crack.
I know.
Like down his thigh.
Voldemort, what you doing?
I know. We saw parts of Voldemort we didn't think we would see in this movie.
So he also, I'm like, okay, 2002. The fourth Harry Potter came out, like, what, 2004?
Oh, yeah.
He looked so much younger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. granted, you know, you see Voldemort, but, like,
yeah,
he looked like
baby.
Withering Heights young, mm-hmm. like 92. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was crazy. All right. Sir Anthony Hopkins, Edward Norton, Ralph Fiennes, and Philip Seymour Hoffman all turned down the original offers to appear in this movie. Having Ted Talley, the original screenwriter of Silence of the Lambs, return to write the script was what turned it around and made them change their minds.
Whoa.
I know. That's cool.
Could you imagine Hannibal Lecter without Anthony Hopkins?
I know.
Right?
Especially like this age Hannibal Lecter. Oh, people would have been pissed.
So a fun fact I didn't put in here was Anthony Hopkins. The only reason he came back and did this one, because I think this was the last one to come out.
Yes. That he's in. Yeah.
Yeah. So he said he came back to do this one because he wasn't happy how people put Hannibal as the anti-hero. So there, he's like, no, he is a bad guy. And you guys need to know how crazy and bad he is.
Wow.
I know.
That's insane, yeah. Too.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So number five. Around 28 minutes, the establishing shot of the Baltimore State Hospital for the criminally insane was reused from the Silence of the Lambs. It was the same, like, they just reused the scene, the footage.
What's funny is it looked familiar to me. I was watching it, and I was like, that seems familiar. Now I know why.
I have not seen Silence of the Lambs yet, so I can't tell you. And then I gave you a bonus one, which I guess that's now my second bonus one I gave you. The Lee's house previously appeared in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's cool.
That's fun, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, let's start.
Do it. All right. Okay. Will Graham and Jack Crawford were talking. Okay. All the talking. Graham was a retired police force who put away some pretty crazy killers. One of them being Hannibal Lecter. After he did that, he retired because Lecter attacked him and it got rough and was too much, especially for him and his girl. So Jack is trying to get him out of retirement because they have this other crazy killer and they want Will's perspective. This killer has two random families that he's killed two random families, and they can't figure out the why. Like, they're not related at all and they're trying to figure it out. Molly and Graham, Molly's girlfriend or wife? Girlfriend.
Are they Molly's married? Wife.
They're married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're talking and she's really worried about his mental health and safety. And Molly was talking with Jack saying, please don't let Graham get into a fight again.
This kind of happens. The main thing here that doesn't is Molly's not worried about his mental health because that whole storyline isn't in the movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I should have had you start first. There's a whole scene.
Oh, duh. Yeah. How did we even forget this? The movie starts with Hannibal Lecter having one of the best scenes. I freaking love this scene so much because he's having a dinner party and everyone's like, ooh, this is delicious meat. What are we eating? And Hannibal's like, oh, you don't want to know.
And it's like, they're so excited because he does this every year and he always cooks such yummy food.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, you're eating people.
Gross.
Unknowingly. So then Will comes because he's been working this case and he really needs, because Hannibal Lecter is oddly a forensic psychologist, which is what Will's supposed to be in the movie or book. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he keeps going to Hannibal Lecter to be like, OK, so I need you to help profile this guy. Why do you think he's doing this, this and this? And so he comes to Hannibal and is like, OK, I think we got a new lead on this case, and starts talking to him. Because he's hunting down Hannibal, and Hannibal realizes, oh shit, he knows it's me. And so they're talking and they're trying to like kind of step around the elephant in the room. And then Hannibal Lecter leaves the room for a second to go get Will his jacket so that Will can leave. And Will starts snooping around and then he finds an article. Because in the article he's looking, it's like, it's not even an article. It's a science book about body parts. And then what's the one that's really gross that people eat all the time, but not human ones?
Liver?
No, it doesn't sound like a body part. Something beans.
I don't know.
That's the one that's in the book and it's written in the book and it's right over what it actually is. And that's kind of Will's like, it is for sure him. And then he turns around and Hannibal's there and stabs him. And then that's the start of the movie.
Yep. Yeah. And then it's cool because so during the credits.
The credits are really cool because then the credits are all the like newspaper clippings of Hannibal's trial, getting put away, all of his killings, like is just so cool.
It was such a creative way to put, I want to say, like, chunks of the book mm-hmm. in the movie in a, like, a like 2 minute mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. So they kept all of the stuff in. It's just they put it right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they talk about the dinner scene and the collect, like, the capturing of him and all these different articles, but they now they did it quickly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah. I remember I was like, what was I doing? I was probably putting away laundry. And I would stop. I'll be like, oh my gosh, this, I have to read all these articles. So I rewound it so I could watch all the headlines. It was very cool. All right. So back to the book. Graham went to the crime scene and he went through all the details. And like, he went there at the time of the murder. So like 1 a.m. or something like that. And he went back to his hotel and then he had a nightmare involving the crime scene.
So in the movie, Graham goes to the crime scenes. And there's a slight difference here because in the book, he doesn't have a tape recorder to like tell or to, you know, make notes basically of the crime scene. But it was a clever way for them to do it in the movie because a lot of the things that he said in the movie were things that he was like making note of in the book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, OK, that's cool. And he never has nightmares about this. No. And like the next scene in the book that happens like immediately after this scene, after he goes back to the, like, I don't want to say police station, but that's probably where he's at. And he's in like one of the back rooms looking at all the case files.
Mm-hmm. Graham and Jack went to the police station and the chief of police spoke with them about all these officers' findings. And Graham had found part of a thumbprint on a victim's eye. And these victims were stabbed 8 times or more, which is way more than the average. Well, they were stabbed 8 times, which is way more than the average, like, sex offender mm-hmm. issue. And
typically, if there's more than, like, I can't remember what the number is, but that's a lot of times how people, like, can catch, like, they're like, oh, this was a crime of passion or this was a crime of whatever. Yeah. Because you're stabbing them, like, multiple times.
I know. I couldn't even imagine. They started calling him the Tooth Fairy because they were able to model his teeth after like him biting out cheese and he took a bite of a person so they could model his teeth. And the Smithsonian was able to make like his teeth they could see and they're super messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this happens. And I'm going to spoil something now because I'm going to talk about this now. But like, so this guy gets mad because they're calling him the Tooth Fairy. But if you're someone who's doing crimes like this, wouldn't you think they're going to find something here? And like, call me that based off of that, mm-hmm. right? Why is he not doing something cooler than biting people or biting cheese? Like, no shit, they're gonna call you the Tooth Fairy.
Oh my gosh!
Don't get pissed at them for shit you're doing. Just saying.
Maybe just don't kill people.
Me, I'm like, go ahead and kill them. Just do it in a cooler way.
Oh my gosh.
Leave a little red dragon laying around each crime scene.
Oh gosh. All right. So there's this guy that checks like meters on houses and he came to the chief and he's super annoyed because one of the tenants is like said someone must be checking up on him because there was a different meter checker. I was really confused what this guy did, but
because this is something that used to happen in like
the 80s.
Yeah, I was okay. going to say in the olden times. That's not that old. Yeah, it's like it's basically. Like, we all have meters on our houses and stuff, and people used to come to the house all the time and, like, check the meters, make sure that things were working well.
Okay. And mm-hmm. so, I think people still do that, just not as much.
I think they actually are able to do it electronically now.
So, the chief let him know, you're doing fine. I didn't authorize anyone to go out and check. And so, Graham's like, oh, that's a lead. So, then they go to this area, or they sent cops out there to, like, check all the regulars like the mailman and everything like that.
This was not in the movie.
Nope.
No, Graham just kept going back to the houses to like walk through.
Like he does right here. Graham went back and looked at the crime scene. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
you can.
Oh, and then he went and called Molly and they had like a little flirty phone call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have flirty phone calls in the book or movie.
Say that 10 times.
Yeah, let's not.
30 phone call.
30 phone call. But basically, after a little bit, Graham realizes, or actually not even Graham realizes, it's Crawford who tells him he needs to go back to Hannibal Lecter in the movie and talk to him, even though Graham does not want to. And so Graham's like, okay, fine. So he goes to Hannibal Lecter, and Hannibal Lecter is like, you're not looking at them as if they're alive, and you need to look at them like they're alive. So then he goes back to the house and starts looking like, okay, how do I look at them like they're alive?
Mm-hmm.
Let me figure out why he was targeting them.
So then after a little bit, Graham and Jack went to the neighbor's house who had seen the other meter guy. And at first he wasn't giving them any information, but then Graham knows how to get in people's heads, right? So he got him all flustered, and then he started talking, and he's able to give the sketch artist enough information to make the sketch. And Jack and Graham went about their inspection, or they went about. Jack asked Graham all about his interactions with Hannibal. He shared that he murdered 6 people and attacked 2 that are still alive. What movies have you seen?
Apparently, my mom says I've seen them all. Oh. I don't remember Hannibal.
Okay. Graham knew it was. Oh, this is the scene in the book where we get the information in the first scene mm-hmm. of the movie. So mm-hmm. we learn how he caught Hannibal and all this sort of stuff. And this is when Graham knew he needed to go talk to Lecter and get his thoughts on the case.
Yeah. So this is a difference because Crawford's the one who's like, you gotta go talk to him.
So Graham went to the insane asylum hospital where Lecter was. And is that the hospital? He's not at the prison?
No, he's definitely in a prison.
Okay, that's what I thought. So he went to the prison and he spoke to Hannibal. And
bless you.
And he was spoke to the doctor about all the rules. So Hannibal wouldn't talk to Graham at first, but eventually he gave him a clue pertaining the case.
That didn't sound like your child.
Demon child. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have anything about this? You kind of already said it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Hannibal got a phone call. It was someone sneakily. Wait.
Hannibal was calling someone sneakily.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Hannibal. I was thinking Graham. I was like, why is Graham being sneaky? He was being sneaky, and the guards thought he was talking to his lawyer, but he did like a punch thing, and mm-hmm. somehow he got phoned out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a thing?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I've never been in prison alley.
So he's trying to get a hold of Graham's home address. The lady on the phone didn't have it, but she found papers with like his location, like his city and stuff on him. And Hannibal's like, okay, that'll do. Because Hannibal's Hannibal and he can figure it out from there. Because
he freaking called the FBI.
Yeah.
That's who he called. Crazy. That happened.
Call the FBI from prison. Oh my God. You're Hannibal. What the heck?
What's funny is, I think it was this movie when I realized, oh wait, no, it's the TV show I'm currently watching for us, where I realized, we have a lot of prisons in this season.
We have a, well, yeah.
Holy crap. This one.
Uh-huh. All 4 of them, right?
Yeah. And then we've got In the Outsider and Stephen King.
Uh-huh.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Uh-huh. And who knows all the other Stephen King ones we haven't read yet?
Yeah, but I don't think they do.
Okay.
I haven't watched the movie in a long time, so I don't remember. Got
a creepy season for y'all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lots of crimes. So now we're following this guy named Dollar. Oh, wait, did that happen?
Yeah.
So now we're following this guy named Dollarhide. And he was very upset with this drunk guy making fun of him for his looks and trouble talking and all this sort of stuff. And then we have flashbacks. Dollarhide was spying on the Leeds house, and we follow the event of the murder, and he videotaped the murders, and he went back to watch them and enjoyed it.
This isn't a thing in the movie. Which
the
made
whole
me sad.
Videotaping part, right?
Mm-hmm. Which honestly makes sense for him.
Yeah.
Because he works at the video store. Like, why is this not an aspect they put in the movie? I don't know. Also, when I was reading this, I was thoroughly confused. I thought they were just throwing a new character at me, and I was like, what the hell? And then I realized who it was.
Yes.
Because in the movie, everyone calls him Mr. D.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was never figuring out it was Dollarhide. And so I was thoroughly confused until the murders. And basically the first time we see him, it's actually quite a while into the movie before we see him. And when we first see him, he's working out with his mask on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's not upset because someone made fun of him.
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely in his character to mm-hmm. be upset about that. We just don't ever see it in the movie.
The scene, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Graham went and explored the victim's house, the Jacoby house, which was the first murdered family. And he's trying to puzzle the pieces together and figure out how the cases are related. He found a Coke that might have been there from the attacker and the police department. He got the police department to ask the neighbors if they recognized the sketch artist's work. And
I thought you were going to stop there. Do you recognize this sketch artist?
I almost did. And then I was like, wait a second. He's reading a news article about the Jacobys written in the Tatler, and which is the like tabloid newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And the author was Lowndes, who Graham hates for violating his privacy, because when he had to go to the hospital after Hannibal attacked him, he took a picture of him like in his underwear and posted it or something like that, right? Why are you laughing at me?
Because it's worse than that.
Oh, tell me.
He went into the hospital. The hospital room when Graham was asleep and no one was in there. And he flipped back the sheets so that everyone could see the colostomy bag that he had and took that picture.
That's not that much worse.
I know, but he doesn't have underwear on.
Oh, well.
And all of his shit is right there in the colostomy bag.
Oh, gosh. I don't think that justified laughing at me.
Yeah. I don't think there's a beef between Graham and Lowndes, but I don't think it's ever explained in the movie. I think
it's like he attacks him and he's like, Jack like calms him down. And he's like, he violated me.
Yeah.
Something, but he doesn't super explain it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
So Dollar Hyde was reading a book titled The Red Dragon, and he began to write letters to Hannibal, and he mentioned Graham and how Dollar Hyde is called the Tooth Fairy and all this sort of stuff. And he asked Hannibal for tips and tricks.
I wish that we saw him writing the letter in the movie, because I love seeing in the book that he's like, ooh, this guy is I want to be him. He knew what he was doing when it came to killing people. I need him to know that I like almost idolize him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
Graham collected all of the information on the case, and he discovered an adult son of Mr. Jacoby's name is Neil, and he goes to the college where the son attends. And the college kids freak out because there's a cop there and they've been smoking weed. And they send him to the local bar where he usually hangs out. And sure enough, there he is. And Graham talks with Neil, and he let Graham know that he didn't really know his dad, but he never. And Graham's like, did you bring anyone back to the house? And he's like, no, I didn't even live there. My dad ditched me. And Graham asked for a picture, and he had one picture, and he went back to the hotel room.
There is no Neil in the movie. There's no older son.
I thought there was. Didn't he go to the bar and meet someone?
I don't remember. I remember that in the book.
Jack gets a phone call from the prison, and apparently they found a note from the Tooth Fairy rolled in toilet paper, and Hannibal doesn't know that they found it yet because they have this room locked down and they're doing routine cleaning. Jack and Graham immediately went there, and they had to work quietly or quickly so that Hannibal was not suspicious in case they needed to use him to reply back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get fingerprints, but they couldn't. They're trying to figure out, because there's bits and pieces torn out of the note, and they figured out he was going to correspond with him through the Tatler.
Yeah, that happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They found the message from Hannibal and the Tatler, but it's written in code, and they're trying to decipher it, but they decided they need to let it run so that they don't lose this lead with Hannibal, and they just let it happen. And they got a list of all the books in his cell, because they realize it's like a number code from books. And someone went to work.
Yeah, that happens.
They got a phone call from the Pilgrim, which is what Hannibal called the Tooth Fairy at the FBI. He wanted to talk to Graham, but Graham wasn't there. So he's like, I'll call back tomorrow. And Jack gets a phone call saying that they deciphered the code. Like, he had to wake up. It's like 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. Jack immediately calls Graham, lets him know Hannibal told Graham or told the Tooth Fairy Graham's home address. And they already have Molly and her son moved out of there. And they went to Jack's brother's house. They're safe. And Graham went to visit them. And Willie, who's Molly's son, talked to Graham about his time in the mental institution, because Graham had this killing a person out of defense, but it was like
PTSD.
Well,
in the movie, Willie is his son.
His name's not Willie.
No, it's not. I can't remember. It's
like Jason or something. I don't know. It'll be in cast.
And Graham never went to a mental institution for killing a person. But this also confused me, because I'm like, yes, cops have PTSD and usually they have to go to therapy. But why was he in a mental institution?
It's super like, messed up.
Like, wow. But then the rest of that does happen.
Mm-hmm. Graham and the police waited for the Tooth Fairy to call back because they're waiting. And when he did, they had a plan to get him to talk for over a minute so they could figure out his location. They did that and found out he was in Chicago in a phone booth. Graham and him were chatting a little bit when the cops showed up to get him. And it turns out it was freaking Lowndes, the Tadler reporter. Graham was pissed and had him arrested. And Lowndes comes back on the phone saying, no, I'll help you. Don't arrest me.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
There's details on Lowndes and how he was kind of a slime ball, and he's currently dating a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. A prostitute. That doesn't happen. No,
we don't get his details.
No, we don't. I mean, Lowndes does end up trying to talk to Graham to get more details on the case, but Graham doesn't let him.
Yep.
That's all.
So Dr. Bloom and Jack are talking. Dr. Bloom is like the head doctor for the prison, right?
Oh, is it the prison? I thought it was just their FBI person. Yeah,
maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're trying to figure out what set the Tooth Fairy off, and Jack suggested using Graham as bait, and they're gonna use the Tadler to help.
Yeah, this does not happen in the movie.
Nope, they do use him as bait, but they didn't chit chat about it.
No.
The Tadler did a fake article on Graham so the Tooth Fairy could find out where he was. So, like, they took a picture of him with obvious things in the background and all this sort of stuff. Lowndes also said a lot of lies in there to hope that he would upset the Tooth Fairy enough to come find Graham. And he had one last meal with Molly, and he felt super awkward and sad because he lied to her and said he was going to be out of town because he didn't want her to worry that he was bait.
Yeah, that didn't happen either.
Nope. Dollarhide went to the, like, a little newsstand to get the next issue of the Tadler, but it was, like, freaking, like, 2 in the morning before the place even opened, and he kind of robbed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking for his message from Hannibal.
Actually, he gave a silver dollar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm. Well, I mean,
he was just a jerk.
Yeah, he held him at, like, knife point and steal the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, here.
Yeah.
This is another one Bree's doing without her notes. So give her a round of applause.
Thank
she's
you.
She's doing pretty well.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because she had to watch it first.
And then read it.
And then read it.
And I finished the book last night.
So she didn't have time to go rewatch it.
Yeah. Because I'm still sick, if you remember me saying that, and it ends with us. And so it was either stay up until like 1 in the morning watching it to take the notes, or sleep so that we could record them. And I was like, you know what, I remember the movie well enough.
Yeah, I think you've done good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dollarhide gets a hold of Lowndes, not Graham, like their plan had originally been. He knocked him out and he threatens him, and he asks Lowndes why he's making up lies and calling him crazy and calling him the Tooth Fairy. And Lowndes is like, well, Graham made me do it. And he showed him a slideshow of all his victims, and he showed them alive. And the next one dead, and then alive and dead. And then he shows Lowndes, And he just starts crying. And Dollar High tries to show him what he looks like, but he keeps his eyes shut because he's like, no, I haven't seen you. I can't tell anyone. Just leave me alone. And like, I won't even tell anybody. And he's like, oh, no, you're not going to tell anybody anything anymore. And then he bites off his lips.
So this part kind of happens.
This was one of those scenes that made me like, eek.
Oh, this one doesn't.
You didn't care that he bit off his lips
in the book?
Yeah.
No.
Ah. My gosh, my mouth dropped when that happened. Like,
you're a creep. This makes sense. So he doesn't do that in the movie. And
he bites off his lips in the movie.
Does he?
Yeah, it's just like it doesn't show it. It shows like,
oh, that's when it zooms out.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, you would.
I was going to say, no, I didn't realize that when watching it.
Because you don't see him after that.
Mm-hmm. Because then the next thing you see is.
Yeah, that's what it's. So, yeah, it pans out and you just hear him screaming and you're like, you see the shadows or whatever.
I just thought he was killing him.
Oh, no, he's biting off his lips there.
I didn't realize that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but in that whole scene, his eyes are open the whole time. He's never like, no, I didn't see you. I didn't see you.
I think he tried, but it wasn't like this where it was until the very end.
Yeah. Because I remember his eyes being open.
Yeah. So Lowndes woke up in a van strapped to a wheelchair. And he had gasoline all over him. And Dollar High had one more chat with him. And then he lit him on the fire and pushed him down the hill. And someone saw him rolling down the hill, spray him with fire extinguisher. But wasn't really enough time to save him.
In the movie, the next time you see Lowndes, he's in a wind chair. He's in a wheelchair on fire.
Yeah, so you don't get the extra combo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is maybe okay because I was like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna watch his lips
without
torn off
and then talking like this?
Yeah. Ugh. I'm okay that we did not see that. Jack and Graham were called to go to the hospital in Chicago, and they went there and Lowndes was burnt to a crisp. He was unconscious, but he was still alive. They were able to get an audio recording before he passed out, and it had Lowndes said the license plate number. And Lowndes' girlfriend was in the hall and Graham let her in and then he died.
Yeah, this doesn't happen.
No, that's okay. I'm okay with that too.
This this was rough for me. I was like, okay, not rough. I just was like, ugh, this would be gross to see in a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The hospital took all of Hannibal's books out of his cell as punishment. And Molly calls and tells Graham that her and Willie are going to her old mother-in-law's house because she doesn't feel safe at Jack's brother's house with all these guns around. And Graham gets drunk because he feels horrible.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in the movie. Molly stays by his side.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Background on the Dollar Hide as a kid.
This is the first time I'm ever going to say this, everyone. I wish this was in the movie.
Wow, the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think this would have helped his character so much more. Like, obviously you get bits and pieces of it, but this, like, it just makes it so much more, like, it's understandable why he really is attacking the women more than, like, everyone else in the family is just, oh, you're a bystander, I'm going for the woman of this family. Like, that makes sense, and then everything else makes sense.
Okay, so add in stuff if I skip it. Mm-hmm. So, because I just lumped it all together, so it was pretty long. So
no, it was super long. I bet you did fine.
Okay. So he was orphaned because his mom found him so hideous as a child because he has a cleft palate. I don't think I ever said that. He has a cleft palate.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
Yeah. And so that's why he talks kind of funny and all this sort of stuff. So eventually his dad found out about him and drunkenly called Dollar Hyde's grandmother.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing, too, because his mom left the dad because he was a drunk abuser. Mm-hmm. And she was like, nope, I can't do this. Then had the baby and was like, oh, you're hideous.
Right.
I don't want you.
So dropped him off at the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma adopted him. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet because she seemed really loving and caring. And she owned this nursing home. She is not. And she takes him home and she teaches him how to talk a little bit and all this sort of stuff. And a little bit older, Dollar Hyde gets his sheets dirty because he wet the bed. And Grandma was pissed off. And she made him hold his penis between scissors and said, if you do it again, we're going to chop it off.
Yeah.
That was so sad.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Then we have a little older, the cooks.
Well, could you imagine if your kid, I mean, your kid's probably done this, but pees the bed has it all over himself. Not to mention, this is in the, like, isn't it 1840 or something? I can't remember. It was a weird, weird year. And so his...
His 1940, not 1840.
Was it? I thought it was 18.
But the book takes place in the 80s. Or the... No, okay. So when did the
World War II? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Never mind.
Okay.
Nope, don't listen to me. Anyways, but he's wearing a night dress, not like pajamas. So the pee's all over him, all over his dress, and then he climbs into bed with his grandma, not justifying how she reacts. But like, I would be a little bit pissed. I'd be like, dude, not only is your bed dirty now, mine is too, and I'm dirty now.
Yeah, no, Tyler did that the other night. So, but I was so freaking tired that I was like, and I just rolled away from him, let him keep sleeping. But no, I was like, it's so hard because you say some things as parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But I would never have done the full on action of scissors.
No, that's insane.
Like, I jokingly, luckily my kids know I'm joking for the most part. Yeah. Like, Tyler and hitting. We're working on hitting.
Yeah.
And I jokingly the other day was like, if you keep doing that, I'm going to chop your hands off. So I'm like reading this. I'm like, oh, it's not far off from that. But I would never have stood there like
with scissors.
Put his hands between scissors to the point where he is sobbing and still yelled at him for it.
Yeah.
So I felt a little better about my parenting. Okay. Yeah, that was just, that made me sad.
Oh, I felt so bad for him. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah, poor kid.
Mm-hmm.
Poor kid.
Yep. So now he's a little bit older, and Dollarhyde and the cook's daughter kind of are like wanting to see each other naked. And of course, they got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma told him to go upstairs and take your pants off for some punishment. But she...
Well, also, another reason why I think he kind of goes more for women. There was one of his favorite employees in the house. I can't remember her name, but her and her husband would always have their carriage take them home at night. And sometimes he would ride on the carriage with them. And she caught them showing each other naked. And she was like, that's not okay. You need to put your clothes on and go. What he didn't know is that grandma saw through the window. So he thought that his favorite house employee had told on him.
Oh.
So then it put another bet because then he didn't trust that woman anymore.
Oh, yeah. I missed that part.
Mm-hmm.
Aw.
Mm-hmm.
But then he realized, oh, my gosh, I love my grandma so much. I'm always going to protect her. Mm-hmm. But he accidentally almost chopped her head off because he was practicing with a knife and he almost dropped it on her. Dang.
Probably would have saved himself a lot of problems.
Yep. Life went on and grandma's nursing home wasn't doing well because she couldn't keep workers because she was a cranky old woman and she was yelling at everybody. So everybody
I don't think you explained that she turned her house into a nursing home.
I said she owned a nursing home. So yeah, I didn't explain it was her house.
Yeah. So it was her house when she first adopted him. And then she was like, I'm bored. I want to do something, and decided to turn it into a nursing home because she essentially wanted to make money off of these people who can do shit for themselves.
That's so sad. She's a horrible lady.
She is.
And then the cook left.
Which is his favorite employee.
Uh-huh. And she called his mother because his grandma is freaking crazy. Mm-hmm. She's like, you need to come get your son. So eventually she came. And she took him home.
It took 2 weeks for her to come.
What the heck? She came and introduced him to his step siblings. And she's like super rich and like, oh, I'm married to the senator or whatever she was.
Mayor.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, first, once grandma found out that her daughter was married to the mayor when he was first running, she went to all of his like rallies he was trying to do to show off her grandson and be like, look, this is the son that she's ignoring. Look at how deformed he is to get people to not vote for this guy.
What a crazy woman.
Mm-hmm. Francis had a fucked up childhood.
I know. And so then his stepbrother beat the crap out of him for being ugly and blamed him for his dad not getting elected,
mm-hmm.
which is related to what Bree just said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his whole backstory that we did not get at all in the movie, did we?
Nope, you don't get anything. And the one thing you get in the movie that's like kind of backstory is he has this huge painting of his grandmother that he like sometimes stops and talks to. So you know that he has a relationship with his grandma. You don't know why. You don't know. You don't know that she's the one that raised him. But also you don't know that she was bitched.
Also, I didn't put this here, but is this where we find out that he uses her dentures when he bites things?
Oh, it does talk about how he her dentures. I don't think it says just yet, but you kind of put two and two together because,
okay. Yeah,
first off, I watched the movie, so I knew what I was looking for. But right. You know that he has dentures that he uses, or actually you don't. You think it's his teeth. So I guess I don't know because I watched the movie first.
Okay.
But it does talk about her dentures in this part.
Okay.
And how she has the weird spiky teeth and the
weird
teeth. Yeah.
So then now we're back to present and Dollar Hyde went to get infrared video so that he can start taking better videos of his attacks and he won't have to turn the light on. And he goes to buy some and the lady at the video place, Reba, is blind. Since she couldn't see him, she didn't judge him for his looks, which was a super nice change than what he was used to. She suggested come back later because the samples and everything would be available for him to look at or something like that.
Mm-hmm. This, I wish this was in the movie too, because he's already picked out his next victim and he knows what he wants. And because he videotapes them, this is why he goes and gets infrared. In the movie, it's just his backstory that he gives in the book, or not backstory, his cover story that he gives in the book for getting the infrared. He's like, oh, I have to do stuff for the zoo. I was like, no, I like it better with the like,
the real
this is for my victims, but I have to cover this.
Yeah.
But then the rest of this does happen. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I like in the book that gets shown or told is when you're following Reba and Reba explains that, like, so Francis likes it because she can't see his cleft lip because he thinks that's such a bad deformity. And she likes it because he doesn't treat her like some invalid who can't do things for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so their relationship starts to work because it's like, oh, you like me for me. Because you're not judging me and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I will also say in the movie, this like basically happens. We see him working out and then the next scene is this.
Yeah.
So I was thoroughly confused when I got 3/4 of the way through the book. I was like, where's this chick?
She did. She's like, there's no love interest. I was like, what are you talking about?
There is. I promise. It's coming.
So Dollar Hyde went back to the photo place and he ended up taking Reba home. They were super flirty and she was sharing about herself and how she wanted to be a speech therapist teacher. And this made Dollar Hyde very uncomfortable and stopped talking because he knew he didn't talk very well. And she made him feel better or tried to make him feel better and said, you speak very well. And he imagined biting her fingers off, but then thought, no, not yet. What the fudge?
No, it's because...
I know.
What? Freaking Red Dragon was trying to be like, this is who you're doing next.
Yes.
So he does take Reba home. She doesn't share how she wanted to be a speech teacher. She just picks up on it because she can hear his little lisp, which is funny because in the movie, his cleft lip doesn't. It just looks like he has a scar.
It does. I was expecting way
worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially since he thinks it's this deformity, so much so that at his crime scenes, he breaks all the mirrors so he can't see himself.
I know. I was like, it doesn't look bad at all.
No, I'm like, you still look like Rafe.
Yes.
You're fine. And then he gets all awkward once she says that she can tell that he has a cleft palate. And then he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this sweet, long scene like in the book.
Nope. Dollar Hyde took Reba on a date to the zoo because she had shared before that she went blind, but she remembered seeing a cougar. So, but she probably doesn't remember what it looks like, so she doesn't think she's right. And so he went and took her to feel a tiger as it was sedated. I legit was waiting for the it tiger to be a trick. Because I read it first, and you're reading it from Reba's point of view.
Yeah.
So all you can imagine is she's like, oh, I felt the tiger's tail, and I felt it. I was like, it's gonna eat her.
Die.
That did not happen.
No.
He took, because as Bree said, his cover story was he was doing something for the zoo, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he got special.
I mean, it was true because he, after he came up with the idea of doing the infrared for the next victim, he was like, because I'm checking it out, I need to have a cover story for this. And for me to have a cover story, I need to call them and be like, hey, you guys should use this. Oh, so it wasn't them coming to him and saying that. It was him covering his tracks.
He did very good.
Mm-hmm.
So they went back to his place and chatted, and she shared that people saw them together and they wanted to know more about him because you're mysterious. And he began internally freaking out because if he hurts her now, people will know it was him. But they ended up fooling around, and the next day he woke up and she wasn't next to him, and he was worried because she might have gone exploring the house and found things that she should not have found. But she was just outside. And when he took her home, the gas attendant was staring at them, and Dollarhead got out and kind of roughed him up a little bit.
So all of this happens except for the gas attendant.
Mm-hmm. 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 Graham was combing over all the footage of the Leeds family because they had like home videos. And then he went through the Jacoby's things and he realized some things are missing.
Graham goes through all the footage of the Leeds family stuff. And I feel like he does realize that things were missing, but
that, I think he did, but it was not a big...
I was going to say, it's not a big part of the story. Mm-hmm. It's like they have the person in charge of their bank vault go and double check the records, but then Graham puts together where this guy works.
So this is the first scene where we get the dragon and Dollarhide fighting, and it was full on a Smeagol and Gollum situation.
Yes, and I loved this in the book so much because in the movie you only get Francis's side.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything the dragon is saying. You know that he's talking to the dragon, and you can get context clues from what Francis is saying. But like, I think the book did it so good because you were able to kind of see the like, oh, he's becoming like insane. Like,
it was a full on. I just had the scene of Lord of the Rings where it was like by the river and Gollum and Smeagol are yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was what it just was because the dragon made him agree that he's going to kill Reba next. And then the Sherman family is who he's going to target. And he convinced him by putting dentures around his penis and started biting down.
Mm-hmm.
This poor guy. Leave his thingy alone.
Yeah, I think too, because in the book at first when this starts, I pictured it all like in his head, and maybe when he was responding out loud, but then it got to a point when like other people would hear what the dragon was saying, and I was like, oh my god, he's literally saying what the dragon's saying out loud. Like, what?
So Dollarhide and Reba had a date, and they go to a hotel room, and he went in and he was like, okay, I'm just going to hang myself. And then the dragon can't get her. But then he's like, no, because I think he's going to get her anyways. Some other way he'll get her. So he went to his grandmother's house.
Wait, he and Reba didn't go on a date. He called out of work.
Oh, okay. That's what happened.
Yeah. So, and Reba was like, can I come over? And he was like, no, I'm not feeling good. And she was like, but I want to check on you and make sure you're okay. And he's like, no, you can't.
Okay, I was wondering why, like, I'm like, they just went on a date, but then she's like, ignores him now? No, he told her. Okay, that makes sense. So he went to his grandmother's house, and he was looking for something when Reba called again. And this is, again, he says basically the same thing. She's like, you don't sound good. And the dragon keeps trying to interrupt and tells him to bring her here. And they hang up, and Dollarhide got in a taxi and went to a location.
Yeah, this does not happen.
Graham got a phone call saying the video equipment was stolen from the Jacoby stuff, but it's on his way now.
This does not happen.
Dollarhide went to an art gallery and he found the Red Dragon painting. He distracted the art curator selling it and he knocked her out. He was eating the painting of the Red Dragon when the secretary lady comes in, knocks her out, and runs away, and he gets down.
I'm going to interject here because this is different from in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So first he gets to the museum where the painting is and he goes and he scopes it out on the day that the museum's open because he wants to see all the exits. And so then on the day when he goes to the art gallery to talk to the lady who they're not selling it, they're just showing it to him okay. because they think that he's this scholar who's researching okay. paintings or this art, specific artist. And at this point in time in the book, he's going into the museum when there's no one there except for employees. In the movie, it's right in the middle of the day when everyone's there. Because then he's like running all quick as if people are all walking through the museum like, huh?
And then, yeah, he's about to exit in the book. And security goes to... Or security's trying to call the warning, but he gets out immediately, changes clothes, and he's not recognizable anymore.
That doesn't happen in the movie. Nope. And you would think it would.
I know.
Especially if he's doing it in broad daylight.
Exactly.
When everyone's there.
So Graham is watching the footage of the Jacobies over and over and over. And he notices there's a padlock on the door. But there wasn't a padlock when they were attacked. And the Tooth Fairy must have scoped out the place before it was changed. But they did research. And that was 2 months before they died. So they're like, why did he wait so long? And they couldn't figure out. It just wasn't making sense. He watched the Leeds home video again. Jack thought he was crazy. He's like, oh my gosh, you've watched this like 20 times. And Lecter told him everything he needs to know is in those films. And not like that, but basically, what did he say? Watch them as if they're alive.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
That's what it was. So then it clicked.
I mean, in the movie, he tells him everything you need to know is in the films. But in the book, it was just you need to you have to think of them as people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then it clicked. They both got their film developed at the same place. So it must be someone who worked there. This is why I'd be a horrible detective. Never would I have thought of that ever.
I know. I don't know if I would have. I feel like it might have been something that clicked for me. But it would have taken. Think about it in an escape room. I feel like there's times when I
suck at escape rooms.
I don't. I would make a great detective.
I can't wait to take Riley to that one for 8-year-old. I'll actually feel like I can accomplish things in that one.
You're going to be like, Brie, I couldn't do shit.
Riley knew how to do everything and I didn't know how to do anything.
Because more often than not, whenever I'm in an escape room, there's always clues that I see that I'm like, that's important, but I can't figure it out now. And I move on to the next one. And then something will click for me and I'm like, oh yeah, this is how we figure this one out. So I feel like I would be a good detective.
Okay. Just without the crime scenes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be at the crime scenes. I don't want to see the crime scenes, but give me all the clues. I can do that for you.
I don't think that's how it works.
Me going into a job interview to be a detective.
I can't see the blood, but I can figure out the things.
Don't show me the blood. Don't show me the guts. Don't show me the pictures of the crime scene. Tell me about them, though. Give me the clues I need.
Oh, my gosh. So they're on an airplane to St. Louis when they got a phone call. The Tooth Fairy is in New York today. He knocked a couple ladies out at the museum and he ate a painting. They're trying to figure out why he didn't kill them. And the psych doctor's like, maybe he just is trying to stop murdering. And they're like, that's odd. Little do they know. That is true.
Yeah. They aren't on their way to St. Louis, but I'm pretty sure the psych person tells him, I think he's trying to stop.
I don't think it was the psych doctor. I think it was Graham.
Oh,
or maybe it was Jack.
Either Graham, Jack, or it was the dude who figured out the book code. I think the dude who figured out the book code who was like, I think he's trying to stop.
Dollarhide went back to the office he works at and he was in a good mood because he believed he was free of the dragon. And then he sees Graham and Jack. And they saw him dusting, or he saw them dusting for fingerprints. And,
on vans.
Yep, and getting employee records, and he begins freaking out, and he leaves. He's driving, and then all of a sudden, he hears the dragon telling him, give me Reba, and he'll be saved. You'll be saved.
This doesn't happen in the movie.
Well, he sees Graham and Jack.
Oh, he does? I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
At the office?
Mm-hmm. And that's why he drives off.
I just remember Graham and Jack being there. and them taking them straight to Dollar Hyde's office. Like, I don't even remember any of this beginning stuff.
I remember him freaking out and going into his car in the parking lot for some reason. And I would assume.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I do remember that, actually.
Okay.
Yes. It's just not as he's not in the building when it happens.
No, he was like still in his car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Graham and Jack weren't getting anything. They were nervous because they didn't want to spook him, but they also knew they had to find something tonight. Otherwise, he might leave.
Little do they know they already spooked him.
Yeah. So then we go to Reba and she kissed a guy goodbye. And I believe it's the same guy that was making fun of Dollar Hyde at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. And out of the shadows, here comes Dollar Hyde after she shut the door already. And he shoots the guy dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hides him in the bushes and then he knocks on the door and he chloroforms Reba, takes her back to his house. And she's panicking, but she's trying to stay calm. She plays nonchalant and she's like, oh, D, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he asks her to lock the door because she had to take the key from around his neck and go lock the door. And she makes a run for it. But, you know, she's freaking blind. So she only knows so much. And then he's also a man that runs faster than her and tackles her and squeezes her neck till she passed out.
Mm-hmm. So part of this happens. Francis doesn't put the guy in the bushes that he shoots. You don't know what he does with the guy. Then he takes Reba to his house and he never does the take this key and lock the door with her.
No, which is crazy to me.
I know, because it makes total sense why he did it in the book.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense in the movie why she's tricked.
I know, exactly. All right. So we're back at the photo place and they get told of the murder at the guy that Dollar Hyde shot. Employees give information that was at Reba's house and Reba was seen with Dollar Hyde. So they go to his office and they check his calendar and they see a flight that went to Atlanta right before the killings happened there. And Graham's like, that's all we need. And they said, let's go get him.
So because they never put the guy in, or Francis never put the guy in the bushes, no one ever found him. So this bit doesn't happen, but they are in Dollar Hyde's office and they find, I can't remember what they find, but they find something where they're like, this is our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they leave.
Reba was being woken up by Dollar Hyde by pouring water on her. And Dollar Hyde has this key around his neck and she's like calculating how to get it to get out of the house because she knew the door was locked. And he's crying and saying how the dragon is going to kill her and bite her and everything. And I can't bear to watch. I'd rather die with you than you suffer from him. And then the room catches on fire.
Well, he lights the room on fire.
Well, yeah. And he can't bear to watch her burn, though. So he shot himself in the head. Reba hears the thump and the blood and everything. And she reaches and tries to grab for the key. And she feels his head all blown up.
This is the part that grosses me out.
Yeah, that was pretty gross.
Yeah.
But she got that key and she escaped.
Yeah, so she didn't have to grab a key to escape, but this part happens. Mm-hmm. And basically, once she feels the blown up head, she gets out of the house.
Yep. Why was she feeling around for it if she didn't need a key?
Because she couldn't believe that he had shot himself. But how does she know for sure that it's him?
Bum, bum, bum. All units were racing to Dollar Hyde's house, especially when they saw that it was on fire. They see Reba, see her sobbing. They ask about Dollar Hyde, and she's like, he's in there. He shot himself. I put my hands in it, over and over and over, mm-hmm. as I also would be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
As well as throwing up.
That's what happened in the movie.
Yep. Graham was able to talk to Reba at the hospital and get more information. Then he called Molly, and we find out that her previous husband had died and she'd been staying with his parents. So this is the first time we find out that she's a widow. I was like,
No.
Did we find that out before?
Yeah, when it explained how Willie wasn't his in that chapter.
Oh, it did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was just like, oh, well, could have been nice to know earlier. I just thought it was a divorce issue.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, cool. Graham is kind of being a jerk because he's like, they don't like me, so I'm not going out there. If you want to see me, you got to come to me.
Oh, well, because Molly is basically telling him we're not coming back.
I don't blame her.
Oh, I didn't like Molly in this part at
freaking
all.
Freaking creepy. Ugh, like, murderers all the time. There's no way.
No way.
All right. Shit. Like,
the only thing that happened in the movie was Graham talking to Reba. The rest of it didn't happen.
Yep.
Because Molly never left. And Molly was not a widow in the movie, I don't think.
I don't think so. So there's a final police report finding meeting, and they share everything they found out. They got the guy.
Yeah, I think this happened.
It was very brief, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was brief in the book, too. Then Graham went to Molly, and things aren't going good between them. So Molly and Graham he's going to call it off. But he wants to talk to Willie and Molly together. And they went fishing, and they had a nice day, so he didn't really want to ruin it. But then they get a phone call, and it turns out it's Jack, and Molly's a little pissed off. And she's like, he said it's urgent. So Graham got up to go talk to Jack, and on his way, Dollarhide shows up and freaking tries to kill him. And Molly and Willie. And Graham gets slashed up pretty bad. And they're fighting back, and eventually Molly shoots him in the head 5 times.
So,
okay, you should go first.
Yeah. So in the movie, Graham, Molly, and the kid goes back to their house in Florida, and they're hanging out on the beach, and they're like, yeah, I'm so glad to be done with this. And they're wanting to make s'mores, and they made their kid run in to get the stuff for the s'mores. And Jack is like, it's taken him a little while. What's taking him so long? And then he runs in. And he can't find his kid anywhere. And he was like, where is my kid? And then he goes upstairs and Francis has his kid at knife point. And so then now Will's like, okay, I have to figure out. I am actually kind of glad that they changed the kid's name because Will and Willie was driving me insane.
I know, me too.
In the book. Anyway. So Will then is like, okay, how do I save my kid while also like attacking this guy? Cause he's got his gun and he's like, well, I can't shoot him cause like just gonna be bad. Then he realizes, he's like, oh, I know what to do cause I know what'll get this guy. And so he starts yelling at his kid cause his kid has peed his pants. And he's like, oh, hey, the kid peed his pants. And now he's getting yelled at by the dad. I bet that's a nod to the book.
Oh, probably.
And so he's like, you're disgusting. How dare you pee your pants? Blah, 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 blah. And so then Francis feels bad for the kid and so isn't on point with things. So then Will is able to get him distracted enough so that the kid can run. And then they get into a fight. And then once Will gets the kid in the room, Francis is there and him and Will shoot each other. But then it's not good. And then Molly comes up the stairs and she's freaking out, crying over Will being shot. And Will's like, you need to shoot him. Because then Francis stands back up. And so Molly goes and shoots him.
I thought this was all going to be fake. Because I read Misery first. And this a scene like this happens in Misery. Where Paul, remember the Annie? Is that her name? Comes back at a rest or in his apartment.
Yeah.
And it's like this PTSD moment. And he wakes up and it wasn't real.
Yeah.
I legit was like, oh, wow, I already know this is fake. And then it was the end. And I was like, what the heck? It was real? So I didn't even I was not shocked at all. I did not have the shock moment that I feel like you're supposed to have when reading this part until the end when I found out it was real.
That's hilarious.
I feel gypped.
That's hilarious.
And I'm a little upset.
What's funny is because you had read it before I had. And I was like, so far everything's pretty spot on. And you're like, the ending, it gets worse. And I was like, okay. So I thought this wasn't gonna happen. I thought him coming back wasn't gonna happen, especially once Ralph was dead and they found his body.
Oh.
But then I was like, but I still have like 40 pages left.
Oh. No, I think I liked I didn't like how he yelled at
the kid
and stuff like that. And I picture this outside.
Yeah, it is outside in the book.
So like there's just, I don't know. I didn't like that Willie was super involved or whatever his name is.
I get, you know, what's funny after now talking about it, the whole reason that scene is like that is
for the nod.
Exactly. Because also the Red Dragon at this point in the movie has also been sitting there calling Francis a filthy, disgusting kid because that's what his grandmother called him.
Right.
And so there's even more of a nod apart from peeing his pants.
Yep.
But anyways, I just was upset that I was tricked, but not tricked.
That's hilarious.
So now Graham's in the hospital and his face is completely messed up. He's laying there with Molly and Jack comes in and tells Molly to give him the letter. Turns out he had a letter for, or she had a letter for Graham, but it was from Hannibal. And he reads it and then he destroys it. And Jack shares everything that happened, which is how Dolarhyde shot another guy he kidnapped in the head so that it tricked Reba and she had to get the key so she felt it. So it was real, but it was the other guy and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And Graham is like in this asleepish dream. And that's it.
Yeah, Graham's never in the hospital in the movie. Instead, he gets to now be on a boat with his family and he gets a letter. He actually gets the letter from Hannibal and it's Hannibal being like, too bad you survived.
I'm like, so Hannibal was in the book, what, twice?
If even.
Yeah. And I'm like,
he's mentioned way more.
Yeah. I was like, expecting going from, you know, the first one where he's the main character. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens to this one. I was like, where is he? He's not even freaking
in jail. He's in it like twice.
I was pretty bummed about that, but whatever. But yeah, that's it.
Yes, it is.
Man, we rocked that one.
Yeah, we did.
Proud of us.
Me too.
All right, we got the cast of 73 people.
It's actually way more than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
We have Sir Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter.
I just realized what's funny is...
this is a series.
It's a series, so we should be talking about them in their respective ones, right? So we should do Anthony in Silence.
So as always, you guys, it is a series. So we'll talk about our characters when we talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to save the main guy for the...
for Silence of the Lambs, yeah, obviously.
So we will talk about Sir Hopkins then.
Yes.
But...
the rest of these people aren't.
They are not. So we'll chat about them.
What's up, guys?
Edward Norton as Will Graham.
I think he's perfect.
Do you know who I keep imagining when I rethink of the movie?
Brad Pitt.
No.
Oh, I was going to die. Yeah.
No, I keep thinking of, but I think it's because they look similar.
Sam Rockwell.
That was one of them. But then I was like, no, that's not who I'm thinking about either. I'm thinking of the new love interest for Meredith in Grey's Anatomy. The anesthesiologist guy. No, he's not. What is he? He's not anesthesiologist. What is he? He's the organ collector.
Yep.
That sounds like super creepy.
What is Hannibal Lecter?
What is their job? Transplant surgeon.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Do they look the same?
What's funny is I can't picture him. Oh, yes, I can. No, he's got more of a, Edward has such a, baby face. Meredith's new love interest has, a man's face. Yeah, that's not a baby face to me. Oh, I could see it, though, for...
see how I keep thinking of him?
Yeah, I could see that. But I think Edward Norton is perfect.
Yeah, I think he did good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Ralph Fiennes as Francis Dolarhyde.
I wish they gave him more of a cleft palate. But
that's makeup's issue, not
he was perfect.
He did very good.
He was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Harvey Keitel?
Keitel? I don't know.
He played Jack Crawford.
He was good.
I love him. Mm-hmm. I've loved him since when I first saw him in National Treasure. And so I immediately was like, oh, Jack is in the next book. Let me see. Nah, it's not the same guy. They should have just got the same guy. Why didn't they do that?
I know. No kidding. That's weird.
Except that time-wise, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Because he would have been way older. Yeah. Yeah.
We have Emily Watson as Reba.
I love her so much. She is in The Corpse Bride. So anytime I watch that, I always think of this movie because of that.
Huh. Is she really blind in real life? Really? Mm-hmm. She did really good.
Yes, she did.
I thought she was.
Yes, she did.
Wow, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is Freddie Lowndes.
Freaking love him.
I love him.
He's so good.
Not who I expected, though.
No. Actually, yes. Because I saw it first. Yeah. Yeah, he's slimy enough for me.
I expected this kind of
skeezy.
Skeezy little itty bitty guy.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, he's fine. He was skeezy.
Yes, he is. Or was, I should say.
Okay, cool.
We have to talk about this one because he is uncredited, but James Pickens Jr. is the zoo doctor, a.k.a. Chief from Grey's Anatomy. Oh, my gosh, another Grey's. Dang, what's his name? Should have been it.
Kevin McKidd.
Kevin McKidd was in the last one.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about. I see.
And then what's his name? Should have been the main guy. No, just the fact that he was in here. I was like, what? Chief Weber. So now I'm going to be real disappointed when there's no Grey's Anatomy characters in the next two.
Yeah, I don't think there are.
I have not watched them yet, so I don't know. All right. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Do the characters stay true?
Yeah.
I think so.
For sure.
Uh-huh. Which do you prefer?
I prefer the book.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. The book's just so much better.
The book was really good.
Mm-hmm. And this is not saying that I don't like the movie, because I do love, like, watching it. I've owned this movie since this movie came out, okay? Mm-hmm. And
2002?
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe not.
I was like,
I saw
it. R? Is it rated R?
Yeah, I've been watching rated R movies since I was 7. I know,
but 2002, we were 4th graders.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I was watching rated R movies before then, but I've owned it for a long time. I don't know exactly when, but I rarely watch it. And then when I watched it this time, I was like, God damn, why don't I watch this more? It's a good movie.
It was really good. I liked it.
Yeah. But
I just love all the details.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, like,
I really like getting Francis's side of it. Cause, like, yeah, we get Francis's side of it, but we don't get the, like,
internal thoughts and stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We just get the awkward outside performance of him.
Right. Which is what movies do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the book was better.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I really liked this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm actually kind of shocked I liked it so much, because after reading Hannibal Rising,
mm-hmm.
right, I'm like, okay, now I realize what these books are. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, going in, I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about these, except that everybody's like, oh my gosh, Silence of the Lambs mm-hmm. is so scary. And I'm like, great.
No, it's not even scary.
Yeah, but after reading, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, so I don't know.
I think what's scary to people is the idea of a Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, that's fair. But so I was like going in expecting horror books, and I'm like, these are just detective CSI mm-hmm. books. What mm-hmm. the heck? And so after reading Hannibal Rising, I was like, okay, I'm interested to see more about how crazy Hannibal is. And I was like, what the? He's not even in this one. So I was expecting not to like it, but yeah. It was the whole CSI thing. And I think, and I like this one because it's fake versus, like,
yeah.
Why don't I like it for I'll Be Gone in the Dark? Because that's real and scary.
That's actually happened.
Yes. And sure, there's probably stuff like this that has happened before.
I was going to say, I'm also pretty positive that Thomas Harris
bases them off of real things.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. We'll just pretend that's not true.
Yeah.
Because I like it
you're
when
enjoying
it's fake.
It.
Do we say why? That was my why, I guess.
I mean, my why is exactly that. I liked getting the background information from Francis. I liked all of the detail that wasn't in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I this was hard for me. I went into recording this not knowing which one I was going to choose. But then as we talked about it more and more, I was like, okay, I know.
Yeah.
But I like them both a lot.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend it to a friend?
1,000%.
Oh, yeah. I've already, like, so my mom, who doesn't like scary movies, like mm-hmm. Silence of the Lambs. That's mm-hmm. how I knew also. I was like,
if mom likes it. You're
lying to me. Yeah. And so, but she's only ever watched Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
So I've been giving her all the backstory.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is why Hannibal's like this. And I was like, did you know? Characters mentioned in this book. In Silence of the Lambs are also in this one. So yes, I've sort of been recommending it to her too. All right, you guys, we got a little sneak peek.
Mm-hmm. You've checked out our website?
Do it.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
I worked real hard on it.
You can subscribe to our newsletter there.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us a rating, a review.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that also anywhere you listen to your podcast.
If you write comments to us, we'll
read them on our episodes. Hopefully mini-sodes, but sometimes it just happens to be on episodes.
Yep. We keep saying that, and people are actually starting to write us comments more.
Yeah.
I guess we mean more like rating comments.
rating comments, or like if you have a note about a difference we missed.
Mm-hmm. Like we actually have one that we keep forgetting to talk about, but we're saving mm-hmm. it for our recap. That's probably when we're going to talk about most of the differences. But we'll give you credit.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then we have our season 6 listener picks, which we're running out of room.
Mm-hmm. Better give us those quick.
Yep. By the time this episode comes out, we might be full.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday, we have a minisode.
Who knows what it'll be?
Don't know.
I'm not going to put us in a box for that.
Nope. Monday, we got Bree's most excited about.
I cannot wait. I've been waiting for this for so long. I can't believe it's finally here. I'm actually like, I'm in that boat where I'm excited, but I'm also kind of sad.
Because it's finally here and it's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only 3 hours long.
I know.
How many pages is that then?
I don't know, because I was confused because The Magicians, 17.5 hours, right?
Yeah.
John last night looked at his book and was like, oh, this is 404 pages. I was like, how if Red Dragon was 454 and it was 12 hours?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be reading, taking forever to read.
Yeah, they do.
Times 5 speed on those ones.
But yeah, so I'm excited. I can't wait. I haven't started it yet. I get
you
to start it.
You haven't said what it is.
Oh, Silence of the Lambs. Does it keep up, people? I am... Oh, I cannot wait.
You will read it all tonight. That's my guess.
I have to watch it first.
Oh, that's right.
Because I haven't seen it in a long time.
I have to watch. I think I'm going to watch it tonight, too.
Nice.
Okay.
And then I can read it.
Then you can read it.
And I can finish it in a night.
And you'll be done tomorrow. My notes are already typed up, so I'm ready whenever.
Tomorrow's a busy day for me.
Yes. And then we got Red Dragon.
Win off script.
Let's try that again without your tummy being involved. And with that, Red Dragon.
Wait, what?
First your tummy interrupts me and now you interrupt me. What is going on?
For some reason, I thought we were going to say it all together. My brain forgot what we do.
Oh my gosh.
You got this. Do it.
Okay. And with that, Red Dragon
went off script.
Bye. Third time's a charm. Why not?
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.